This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you, Pete. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Brendan Dar, Tom Daly production, as always. Appreciate their efforts. Danny, what do you got on the itinerary this weekend?
Tonight, Tally Ho Theater, Leesburg, Virginia. I will be doing the stand-up comedies with Matt Deakins, Dom Gray, a couple guys I'm excited to work with, some really funny up-and-comers in the D.C. area. And tallyhotheater.com, I think there are a couple tickets left. You want to swing by and see your pal. That's my main item this weekend. That's the big thing.
You know, Leesburg Paulson is a person. I do love Leesburg.
Who gets more run, Grant Paulson or Leesburg Paulson?
Grant Paulson gets way more run.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very passionate about Leesburg, though. It just doesn't come up on the air nearly as much.
Gotcha.
For whatever reason.
I love that little area where, hey, the Tally Ho Theater itself
little
is awesome.
Downtown strip.
I'm telling you, it's great. I didn't realize that the old Cooley Gallery is right around the corner. And then I think the church where you were wed was right there.
That's right.
And it's all within a stone's throw. Just such a cool little burg, man.
It's kind of what I look for in my life, that little quaint.
Yeah.
Village. I don't have a better way to put it.
I don't know.
Everything's walkable.
Yeah. What do you call that?
It's like a downtown. You know what's like that is you probably have never spent any time in Fredericksburg proper.
No, I have.
Downtown Fredericksburg.
It's like that. Yeah. It's not just a place for 95 to be backed up. It's also a nice little community. It's a nice little downtown.
Nice.
Yeah.
But you know what it is the, here's the word I would use. This is a super old person, not a 30-year-old dude saying this. It's cute.
It is.
Leesburg is a cute place.
I'm secure enough. I'm a 40-year-old dude. I could say that. There are a lot of towns in Virginia that are like that. Like Middleburg's that way. Like places kind of in and around.
Middleburg is basically Leesburg.
Percival's like that. You know where it really is like that? Like if you want old-timey, just really neat place to visit is Staunton, Virginia. Now it's spelled Staunton, and it's really annoying that they don't recognize that U. Like they act like that U isn't there. The U's right there to influence the A right before it. But Staunton, Virginia is that way, where you just feel like you're transported
so
back into
buddy,
the 50s.
Who, unfortunately, has passed now this year, Joe White, who
right.
for years covered D.C. sports for the Associated Press, moved there and ran a little shop there. And I never made it, which I regret. But because I know that his shop was there and what his shop was all about, I can see that town just by you describing it and what it's probably like. Great. To go to any of those little places for their little Christmas parades and things during the holiday season, too. You can't beat that. A G&D on the Fan. We have opened up the phones for you at 800-636-1067. Mark Lerner, in an interview with Donald Dell, an interview show, said that the Nationals cannot afford both Steven Strasburg and Anthony Rendon. I don't agree with that, and I don't buy it. I think that they can. Now, whether they should re-sign both of those guys from a financial standpoint, we could debate whether they should, whether it would be prudent from a business standpoint with Trey Turner eventually needing money and Juan Soto and Victor Robles ultimately needing money. I mean, those are reasonable baseball conversations. But the idea that they just can't afford them worries me some because it tells me that what I'm hoping we're growing toward, we might not be, particularly after all the money that was made and just the growth next year. By design of winning a World Series that just accidentally happens. You don't have to do anything. You're going to have higher attendance, more season ticket holders, better TV ratings, better radio ratings. All those things are going to happen just from winning a World Series. But the quote from Boris, the Nationals are experiencing a revenue festival in 2020. World Series momentum has blossomed. Millions in D.C. The franchise value has increased nearly $2 billion since the purchase. The Nats made an extra $30 million winning the World Series. Attendance will increase by more than 400,000 to 500,000, he goes on to say more. I'm not asking the Lerners to lose money. It's a business.
Sure.
You shouldn't open up a coffee shop and just so all of the people that like your coffee are happy, just lose money all the time by handing out coffee. That's not what I'm condoning. I do believe, though, if you keep Strasburg and you keep Rendon, you got a better chance to win another World Series and to get back deep into the playoffs. And we saw how financially beneficial to the Lerners and to everybody else in the city that can be this past October. Paul's in Arlington. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. Yeah, listen, I couldn't afford this my season tickets the last 10 years, but I stuck with this team when they lost every opening series. They're going to rip the heart out of this team if they don't get Steven Strasburg. I mean, he has been the main guy for 10 years almost, and he's hitting his prime right now. He's pitching the best he ever has. It's obvious he's got at least 3 or 4, maybe 5 or 6 really good years left. And Rendon's, an infielder who hits third. I mean, those are two irreplaceable players. And the notion that they can't afford them both, maybe they just want to start losing to the Braves then, you know, because this team is not guaranteed.
Your phone's breaking up. Thanks for the call. I can promise you they don't want to start losing to the Braves. But if both of them walk, it's going to be really hard to beat the Braves.
Yeah, how bad do you want it? You know, like, right. I want to lose weight, but I'm going to eat some cake.
And by the way, you can say, oh, well, look, we let Bryce walk and we got better. Again, that was different.
It was different.
A lot of people were on board with that because financially it didn't make a lot of sense to re-sign him. But it wasn't like they just got rid of him and accidentally got better. Rizzo and his staff got to work. I mean, the guys that they've groomed in the Dominican, Victor Robles and Juan Soto, became stars. And to Lerner's credit, they gave $140 million to Patrick Corbin. I stop short of saying, people always say they're cheap. You're not cheap when you spend $200-plus million on Scherzer and $175 on Strauss and $140 on Corbin, and you got a high payroll.
It's two things. One, you had Soto, but B, remember, Adam Eaton was a part-time player last year. You have him at a fraction of the cost, but not a fraction of the war. You've got basically a similarly productive player, although very different than what Bryce Harper turned out to be last year and this year, at a quarter of the cost for him. That's number one. But number two, it's not cheapness. It's their methodology, right? It's, I'll offer you $100 million, but $80 million is down the road. It's not right now. And we're going to invest that money. That's the thing so it's not cheapness. Cheap is the wrong word.
Well, I'll reserve judgment to big picture until I see what their offer is.
Mm-hmm.
They have not made Anthony Rendon an offer he should sign yet, to my knowledge. We know of the 7 and the 210. He wants a 5-year deal by all reports. Offer him 35 to 40 a year if you really want him. Let's go to Tom in Manassas. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hey, good, guys. Hey, Bob.
Happy
Friday. One thought is it's a negotiating tactic, try and level the tables there. But my initial reaction is I'm pissed off. You know, I hate to hear a billionaire say you can't afford something. Maybe, you know, Danny, like you said, maybe say it's not a smart move. I want an owner that goes all in, kind of like they do up in Boston, you know. And, granted, that kind of leads me to my question. With the luxury tax, I think they're clear from the books. How could that affect that if they were to sign both of them? Which I don't think Rendon wants to stay, but how, you know, is this something that would go over the luxury tax and they'd have to pay, or is that what they're concerned about, do you think?
So to give a couple logistics there, as of right now this will change if and when Kendrick's number is final comes in. Cots Baseball has them, which is one of the definitive resources that people use to kind of determine how much luxury tax base, et cetera. Their opening day payroll right now projects to be $115 million. They still have a lot of people they'd have to sign, and that's going to go up. But as of now, it's about $80, $85 million less than opening day 2018. Again, that's before these two guys are signed, before anybody else gets signed. Let's just say if you're going kind of below the line players, kind of filling out with your Gerardo Parras and the sort of the back-end guys, you could budget $20 to $30 million to get those guys. You're talking basically $50 million. So, yeah, if you end up signing both with true AAVs given each year, you're not pushing it into different years like Scherzer's and Strasburg's were over the last couple seasons, then, yeah, you probably would exceed the luxury tax then. That's a very reasonable thing to want to avoid, by the way, because it means you're probably not going to be as good. Say that. Instead of just saying, we can't afford it. You can afford it. You got plenty of cash on hand.
Yeah, I'll just double down and say what I've been saying for a year and a half, which is I had no problem not going over the luxury tax last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the third straight year and how much it would have cost. To not go over the luxury tax again this year, it's not the boat I want to be in. There's a couple boats. You can be in the boat where you go over the luxury tax to win,
right,
or the boat where you don't. I want to be in the boat where I do. It's easy for me to say. Lerner once told you and I it was painful stroking that check. Wasn't painful winning the championship. Now, I know you weren't over the luxury tax this year, but as a general rule, I think the more you're spending, the better your chance to do that because you're bringing in good players. This is not a bad organization. This is not the Redskins where spending money doesn't necessarily equate
right
to wins.
Well, we're literally going, please stop spending money a handful of years ago.
Mike Rizzo is spending money to go get Patrick Corbin, to go get Max Scherzer, to go get Adam Eaton, you know, whoever it is. Pieces that actually fit here. Steve in Falls Church, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Enjoy the show. I just had one point on Lerner, and then I kind of had a question for you guys about how to handle something with Rendon. But with Lerner, I actually think it's kind of refreshing. I mean, for I guess point one is we haven't heard the full interview. I think it's just a snippet. So he may elaborate on what he means in the interview in terms of strategy, et cetera. But I think it's refreshing, and I think, you know, we deal with another team in the area where there's zero transparency, and, you know, it's very annoying.
Yeah, and we crush him for it. It's a very good phone call. I guess here's my point, because I don't want to speak out of both sides of my mouth, and it does feel a little hypocritical for me to say there's no transparency with Dan Snyder and then be upset with Mark Lerner when he says this. I just don't. Transparency to me is honesty, right? Transparency is not just talking, but talking candidly and correctly and honestly. I think he's saying to fans, we can't afford this, and I think that's factually inaccurate. Does that make any sense?
It does.
Transparency would be him coming out and saying, listen, guys, we've got a big picture plan here. We're going to try to re-sign Trey Turner, and eventually we're going to have to pay Juan Soto $500 million. And right now, it's not in our best interest with the team that we've built and our 2- and 3-year plan to give Steven Strasburg what he's asking for, which is 195.
Or whatever it is.
Whatever.
Right.
And Anthony Rendon, what he's asking for, which is 265. I'm just making up numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's transparency. I think just saying, yeah, we can't sign both of those guys, as everybody knows, I think that's just kind of spin. I think that's his way of saying, well, I'm not going to do that. 800-636-1067 is the number on GND. We asked you yesterday if you were prepared for the possibility that they could both walk. We've been trying to say for a couple weeks, Rendon's very likely not coming back. We've said all season, but maybe both of these guys are out. And then yesterday you had the Lerner comment. Now Rizzo, who, by the way, is in his contract year. Time to get a deal done with that guy. Mike Rizzo is not under contract after this year.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Your executive of the year in baseball who's built this team. They're number two in wins behind only the Dodgers in the regular season over the last several years under Rizzo. He doesn't have a deal either. So you wonder if they'll slow play that and wait to see what the market says or not. Grant and Danny on the Fan. What do you think Scott Boras is thinking this morning? Welcome back, Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Well, I guess we have a little idea because of the text he sent to Ken Rosenthal. And in fact, just got the same exact text word for word for him when asked for any kind of comment or if he wanted to come on the show. He said it's not really something he's interested in doing. But he sent me the same thing that he sent Ken Rosenthal earlier today, which says this. The Nationals are experiencing a revenue festival in 2020. World Series momentum has blossomed, millions in D.C. The franchise value has increased by nearly $2 billion. Since their purchase, the Nationals made an extra $30 million winning the World Series. Attendance will increase by more than 400,000 to 500,000. TV ratings and advertising rates all skyrocketed. Everyone in D.C. knows special cherry trees create revenue bloom, which is a funny turn of a phrase by the agent for Anthony Rendon and Steven Strasburg, Scott Boras. Why are we talking about this? Well, Mark Lerner came out and said that the team cannot afford to sign both of those players. Not what you want to hear. Doesn't mean it's wrong. I happen to think that it is. It sounds like you do as well.
Yeah.
Because there is a difference between, to me, how do I want to say this? I could go home and say to my wife, you know, we're going to go out to a nice dinner, let's say. We can't really afford to do that. We did that last week. Like, I could say something like that. We actually could.
Mm-hmm.
We have the money in the bank to do that. I could scan my little debit card. Don't have to put it on credit, and we could pay for our $227 dinner. Should we do it? Should we do that once a week?
Or are we better spent doing something different, or the home, or a house, or a baby?
We go shopping, and we get groceries for $200, and they last us a full month instead of that one meal. And then we can save for those few weeks for the house that we need to buy, or whatever it is that we're getting next. To me, that's...
Right.
It's a semantics thing, but you can absolutely afford these guys. Let's not pretend like you can't, specifically after what just happened. Now, if he's saying we can't afford them from the standpoint of it doesn't make sense for us to pay both of them, well, I'll gladly debate you on that.
Yeah, and I think that's what he meant.
That at least is a reasonable debate.
Yeah, and I think that's what he meant, and I know, and I keep saying this. I know I'm not being fair, but as soon as I hear a guy that is a multi-billionaire. I don't mean to vilify him because he's rich. He's very successful. He deserves everything as far as I am concerned. But when you enjoy public money, when you enjoy tax benefits, when you enjoy thousands of people gladly and happily filling your coffers, right, especially with this World Series run, again, that you've earned, it doesn't take anything away. It doesn't cheapen anything that you've accomplished because you've accomplished it. But it's really hard for somebody, I think, who has spent an awful lot of money to hear that you can't afford it. Maybe I'm just harping on that one detail. I'm with you. If it's a, hey, it may not be in our best interest as a team to overpay, quote unquote, in a bidding war for these guys, we're probably better served with 3 2-war players than retaining 1 6-war player. You tell me that, we can have that conversation. That's a wonderful debate, as you alluded to. Like, are we better off with, I don't know, Scooter Jeanette and Jed Jerko for a year until Carter Kieboom is ready than we are with Anthony Rendon? We could debate that. I'd say no, but we can have a conversation. This way it just says, oh, we're not even going to try. We're not really in that game. Oh, well, shucks.
Brandywine Zach, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Granddaddy? Y'all are the best, man.
You're a sweetheart, sir.
I want to know what Mike Rizzo thinks. The certified baseball professional, I want to know what he thinks, because I don't understand why Mark Lerner would do this. I also don't like some of the things that have happened in the past that I've let slide, because I appreciate that they run their organization well, but the stuff with Bud Black, my understanding is Mike Rizzo lost one of his main lieutenants last year when he got a raise, or it was 2 years ago. So stuff like that, where you're kind of cutting the baseball guys' legs out from underneath of them, I don't like that. Where does this all fall in Mike Rizzo's 1, 3, and 5-year plan?
Well, there's just no way. It's well said. Thank you. Good call. And I love that he referenced the Rizzo 1, 3, and 5. Uh-huh. Tells he's plugged in on,
that's right,
on Rizzo speak. There's no way he didn't hear this and not go, are you kidding me? Again. Remember, a year ago, he came on. I don't remember if he came on our show or the station right after that. And he didn't, like, verbalize it this way, but he wore his fire gear. Then he brought a hose, and he just tried to say, all that stuff you just heard, don't think about it. You know, it's not quite that. It was that.
We're still talking to the agent. We're still talking to, right, to Bryce. No, we really like Bryce.
No, you're not. No, you don't. You know? And maybe he does. I'm not saying he doesn't.
Right,
but the point was, we knew. You and I walked out of there that day, and we said, we were definitive, Bryce Harper is gone.
That's it.
Now, there was some spin. There was some damage control after that, and you're going to get some of that now. It'll start as soon as Rizzo speaks at the winter meetings to the masses, whenever that happens. But as I said earlier at the start of this conversation, put his gloves on, bring his mop. Mm-hmm. He's got a mess to clean up again. Mike Manassas, how are you?
What's up, Mike?
Hey guys. Listen to your show a lot. Respect your opinion, but I think you're kind of off on this one.
Tell us why.
Give me a second.
Please.
To me, to be honest with you, you're kind of taking the short view, because while the Lerners are great businessmen and they've earned their money in real estate and all that stuff, the person playing chess is Mike Rizzo. And he reports to the Lerners and gives them a view of all these things that are optional. And Lerner talked to the press for a minute before going into a party, and I think what he did was kind of give the bottom line, because I believe Mike Rizzo said to him, here's what happens if we do this, 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 and this, short term, long term. And the bottom line is that to make it a long term winning team, we just can't put that much money on there, because of the fact, if you go over the luxury tax next year and you have these big contracts and then you start having to pay the other guys and then you keep going over and over, that luxury tax goes up and up and up. Of course they can afford it. Everybody knows that. They know that. You know that. Their amount of money they have is known to everybody. So they can afford it. I think what Lerner did was just kind of give the synopsis of the finale, of the final decision that they made of, we can't do that.
But why is he doing that now, Mike? It's not the time to do that. You do that after Anthony Rendon or Steven Strasburg signs somewhere.
I also think it's not different than what we're saying.
I don't either.
In terms of interpretation.
The winter meetings haven't started yet. Basically, the offseason has begun, we know that. But basically the prologue has been written so far.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the winter meetings start, that's when the action picks up. To come out right before that for the second straight year and basically, I don't want to say end the chance, but effectively that's what he did with Bryce and what he's doing here. I still don't understand the timing of it is all. And maybe you're right. Maybe he's just being super honest with the fan base and telling them this is the deal. Okay. This is not the time to do that. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, fellas. Yeah, I think Mark's attempt to manage fan expectations this year and last have blown up in his face. I mean,
maybe that's what it is. That's a good way to put it, Kevin. Managing fan expectations, kind of preparing, maybe preparing them for the inevitable.
I think that's what's going on here. And look, I mean, Nightingale's reported we're in deep with Donaldson. I mean, to me, I'll be stunned if we don't add Donaldson and we don't keep Strasburg. And I've been thinking that for a while, right? So I do think, you know, Mark is imprecise, and he needs to improve upon his PR messaging. The other thing I just wanted to mention, again, they are trying to also create the illusion, if you will, that the Masson dispute has their hands tied operationally and financially. I think they've continually and consistently tried to make that point, and, you know, it's still not resolved. So maybe that's part of the crying poor mouth, too. I don't know.
Could be part of it. There's no doubt. We could keep talking about this, and we'll come back to it, because obviously it's a hot-button issue, and Nats fans certainly want to chime in on it. Albert Breer of MMQB and Sports Illustrated is going to join us next. We'll get ready for Week 14 action on Sunday, as well as a discussion from him on the Redskins playing a guy they once fired for the second time this season, who's a head coach of a playoff-bound team. You're listening to The Fan. Big thanks for making the show part of your day. We're Grant and Danny, and you are listening to The Fan. Albert Breer of MMQB and Sports Illustrated is going to join us in a moment. We're going to go around the NFL and talk Week 14 football. The Redskins are getting ready to go to Lambeau to take on the Packers. They lost to Kyle Shanahan early this season. Now they're going to try to avenge that with a chance to play another of their former ex-assistants turned good young head coaches.
This is the quintessential revenge game. There's been a revenge tour. Right, former quarterback, former assistant coach that left with his tail between his legs, right, at the end of the Leak-A-Lot-ship. All the badness that happened, and the Redskins have come in second in each one of those games. But now they're the hottest team in the NFC East. They got a fighting chance to go up to Green Bay and win, Grant. It's a fighting chance. I'm not saying we're going to do it. They got a chance now.
You're not actually for like even a split second doing the thing where you're – have you even thought for – half a second that maybe they'd make the playoffs? Have you done that?
No.
Me either.
You don't get to
do that when you're 3-0.
Yeah, I will say that I think they might like mess around and get competitive down the stretch and kind of ruin everything and then ruin their future by doing it, by doubling down on whatever this Callahan thing is and Bruce Allen, but
possible. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Welcome Albert Breer on to the show. You can read his work in SI and MMQB. Albert, I'm going to start with you where we start with all of our respected national guests now on the Redskins. Do you think 2019 will be the end of the road for Bruce Allen as team president?
I actually think part of that's going to be linked to the head coach search, and here's what I mean by that. The Redskins have already started the search. I know it hasn't been public, but they've actually already started reaching out to prospective candidates through, you know, go-betweens and everything else, and my understanding is they've gotten some pushback on the current structure of the organization from some of those candidates. And so, now what I would tell you is this is really going to boil down to, I think, a couple things. One, just how much does the current structure of the organization limit them as far as what they're able to go in as their next head coach? And then two, how far does this have to go for Dan Snyder to move on from Bruce Allen? And so kind of like two related things that are, I think, kind of moving targets with both. And so I would just tell you, you know, my sense is that they've already gotten the feeling that the head coach search is going to be affected by the way that the building's operated for the last 10 years. And so, I think this is going to come down to, again, A, is it going to limit who he's going to get as head coach, and B, how far is Dan Snyder willing to go to keep Bruce Allen?
So, Albert, to drill down on that, is that basically as simple as I'm not coming to work for Bruce, or is that, hey, you guys probably need a qualified general manager and a different scouting department? How specific is that?
Well, so let me give you guys an example of like what would be going on right now, right? So, like this time of year, you've got certain people that are the power players and all of this. It's obviously the teams that have already made moves or maybe planning to make moves, and then you've got agents, you've got some of the different committees within the league and everything else. And so, some of the courtship, I would call it, is already in the beginning stages with some of the college coaches, and so. You know, there are some obvious names out there. I mean, Jim Harbaugh's name has been out there forever, but Baylor's Matt Rhule, Oklahoma's Lincoln Riley, you know, Iowa State's Matt Campbell, guys like that. So most teams that are, you know, kind of planning to cast a wide net would start to put feelers out to see if there's interest coming back the other way. And, you know, a lot of times in those cases, teams can get feedback, not only on whether or not they'd be interested, but the conditions in which, you know, certain candidates would be interested. And so that's where you would get that sort of feedback is, a coach might say, you know, I might be interested in this, but I really don't like where the team is structurally, or I don't want to work with this guy, or I need to bring my own GM, or I need to have things set up in X, Y, and Z manner. You know, it's just, those are the sorts of things that come back when, you know, you're doing this initial, you know, this sort of initial courtship of those sorts of candidates. And so, my understanding is that some of that has come back, and I think that that's not unusual. I don't want to pin this all on Bruce, but my understanding is the Redskins have gotten some feedback from some, you know, guys who are going to be in the mix for multiple jobs. Whereas, you know, if this is going to be a structure there that it has been over the last 10 years going forward, then I'm not interested.
Is Dwayne Haskins going to be an asset to this search, do you think?
It depends on who you're reaching out to. I mean, everybody's going to have a different opinion on him, right? So I think it's, you know, sort of depends on which coach you're talking to, which sort of coach you're talking to. The seal's kind of been broken on the idea that you can move on from a quarterback after 1 year. And so, you know, if you really, really, really wanted a coach, sometimes it can come down to that. You know, I look at what happened in Arizona last year, and, you know, it's, and they not only took Josh Rosen in the top 10, they traded up to take him in the top 10 in 2018. You know, and then they turn around and hire Cliff Kingsbury. And when they hire Cliff Kingsbury, he wants, you know, he sees a quarterback that he's had a relationship with since the kid was 14 years old. And a kid that he thinks can be a game changer in their offense. And they just, you know, up and move on from the guy they drafted the year before. And so, I think really with Haskins, there's certain guys he might be an asset, and then there are other guys that probably look at him and say he's under evaluation like everybody else if I get this job.
Albert Breer with us here on Grant and Danny. What's going to happen in Dallas? They look like they've quit. It is gross watching this team.
At
one point it was
3-0
and killing people. What's going on?
Yeah, really, really didn't look good last night, guys. And I would think that there should be some sort of, and it's weird to say it this way, but pride, right? Like the way that they got just boat raced against the Bills, on Thanksgiving, on that stage is so important to the franchise and everything, the Thanksgiving Day stage. And then to come back and have the kind of performance they had last night, which sort of mirrored the Thanksgiving performance where, you know, they come out with a strong first drive and it looks like they're really onto something, and then they just come kind of do nothing after that. Certainly I can understand where, I can certainly understand why there's a lot of criticism of coaching staff there. And here's what I would say too. I wouldn't take what Jerry is saying now lightly and I don't know how much you guys listened to last night, but there was a lot of, I don't care if we're still in division in contention. I don't care if we're leading the division. I mean, I think very much, you know, for Jerry Jones, the decision-making here isn't just about whether or not they get in the playoffs. It's what the team looks like down the stretch. And it's, can you advance when you get to the playoffs? And so I think Jason Garrett's very much fighting an uphill battle to try and keep his job, especially when there are names out there that the Cowboys have interest in, guys like Lincoln Riley and Urban Meyer.
Albert, always appreciate you coming on and great information on the Redskins as they've got their search underway as well. Thank you, and we'll chat soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
You bet. Nobody better to chat football with on this show than Albert Breer. Check him out in SI. We're Grant and Danny. Next, it is Friday, which means we will win off the field. You will call us and you will tell us how you are winning off the field. Little teeny tiny mini moral victories at 800-636-1067. At noon, your Beltway Blitz, and in the 12 o'clock hour, why are you watching the Redskins on Sunday? Who or what do you want to see? We'll answer that question. 1 o'clock hour, college football Saturday preview, rivalry weekend coming up. Plus, can we stop saying Lamar Jackson's better than Michael Vick ever was? Can we stop with that? He's really, really good. People are forgetting Michael Vick.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that in the 1 o'clock hour. So stay tuned. Beltway Blitz coming up. Craig Hoffman, Brian McNally, Jesse Dougherty on the Redskins, the Capitals, and the Nationals. But it is time to win off the field. We do this for Bruce Allen on Fridays at this time. Not for me and not for Danny.
No.
Not even for the show. We don't even want to do this.
It's not even about us anymore.
Has nothing to do with us.
Bigger than us.
If it was up to us, we'd never do it again, but we have to do it for Bruce. We must. We must push forward. He once said these words out in Ashburn.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
What's an off-field win, Danny?
Something tiny. It's something insignificant that most times would go unmarked. You would do it.
Danny Rauer.
Thank you very much. Do it or not do it. You would encounter it, whatever it is, and never think twice about it. What we ask you to do is to stop and smell the proverbial roses.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
It's not, Coach. It's a way to appreciate life because Bruce Allen told us we shouldn't be – is it Christ or Christ? You tell me which one? I'm sorry.
Christ.
Thank you. He told us that it's not about the big stuff, like winning football games and being good and not being an embarrassment. It's about the little things, winning off the field. That's why we do it. I can give you an example.
I'd love
would
to
you like
hear
one?
Any one.
As you know,
Danny Rauer,
that guy's a klutz. I broke my rib last week, and I'm walking around with a broken rib for about 6 days before I sneezed, went to the hospital, yada, yada. No one cares. Everyone heard the story already. No,
ribs are delicious.
Ribs. Love some ribs. Well, as of this morning, it no longer hurts when I cough. So I've got these little tickle cough because it's wintertime, you know,
Dude,
and everybody's
healing.
Got it. So it's better. I'm better than I was. And it's not a huge thing because I still have to cough a bunch. And if I sneeze, I'll double over in pain. But the torn intercostal muscles that I have no longer hurt like holy hell when I cough. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Right there.
I'm pumped for you, dude.
Thank you, buddy. Big deal.
Everyone is okay here in the office.
I dig that. Good for you. Good for you.
Good for you.
Here's mine. 800-636-1067 to tell us how you are winning off the field.
Uh-huh.
Today was the Junkies Holiday Drinking Show. It's one of my favorite radio shows of the year. And I woke up this morning, and I was kind of going about my day as I normally do. And
sure.
I'm going into the bathroom and hanging my towel, getting ready for the shower. And I said, oh, my goodness, it's the Junkies Drinking Show today. But I'd already missed a bunch of it because I don't wake up at 5:55 a.m. So I was able, via the Radio.com app, to use the 24-hour stream to just go back to the beginning. And like DVR, up until I got here, basically, catch up in real time to their show. Therefore, I was.
Winning off the field.
First time I've ever been able to do that with technology.
Surprise.
We've come a long way in radio. Let's go to Dan in Centerville to figure out how he's in the win column today. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bob.
I am working at home. I'm playing Star Wars. I'm watching Mandalorian on TV. And I'm going to watch Star Wars when it comes out in late December. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I'm smelling what you're cooking, sir.
Seemed like a lot of Star Wars.
No, it's to the appropriate amount. So Disney's not dumb, by the way. You don't think they get to be in charge of all the media without kind of having a plan?
Great,
definitely knows more Star Wars than I do. Still so frustrating that clip exists. It's clearly doctored. I, of course, object to it in corporate. Doesn't matter.
I can't believe you said that. I just can't believe it.
I didn't. Grant definitely knows more Star Wars. I'm sure it's the same clip. The point is.
Hold on. Let me listen. I want to pump it up as loud as you can.
This is so frustrating.
I don't hear an edit here.
Grant definitely knows more Star Wars than I do.
I don't hear an edit.
You don't hear that?
What do you hear?
The edit.
Where?
Where I say Star Wars. That's two different recordings pieced together. Grant definitely knows more Star Wars than I do. You hear it when it goes up?
But not when you yell over it. Let me hear it one more time.
Okay. Grant definitely knows more Star Wars than I do.
That sounds seamless. Sounds like you said it all at one time.
Mm.
It's possible.
Does sound that way. But they released the video game in November, which is awesome. Jedi Fallen Order, really, really good. They're releasing The Mandalorian once per week, leading up to the finale being right before Force Awakens, Rise of Skywalker comes out. They're not dumb. They know exactly what they're doing.
I have a question about The Mandalorian, if you'd entertain me
always
for a moment.
Always happy to do that.
I've had a couple people tell me you should watch it. You'd really like it. It's more like the superhero movies that you watch, say Avengers, or I think the comp I got was like Guardians of the Galaxy. It's more like that than it is sci-fi Star Wars nonsense.
Right. So
is that fair?
Well, again, no, because you call Star Wars nonsense. The things that you allow are way more out there than what Star Wars actually is. Right? So you're like,
I don't know.
Well, you watch Guardians 2, where a guy is a celestial and he's doing battle with a living planet. And there are these little jewels that people are searching for that are actually made from the brains of these demigods that lived a million years ago. You're fine with all that.
It's
you're
all
fine
reasonable.
With Infinity Gauntlets and everyone having superpowers and whatever. But the idea that Star Wars could exist, it bothers you so much.
Robots in space, man.
So again, it's unfair, it's incorrect, it's wrong, it's your worst stance, including
putting
milk on
cereal. But if you can get past that, is...
So, once I've correctly said
that... Let me
cut
all the fat away from the meat you just cooked.
Yeah.
Here's what I need to know. Is The Mandalorian more Star Wars-y or more a movie that came out and is part of the Marvel Universe, essentially? Not in terms of content.
I know what you're trying to get at. It's a great show. It's really well done. They're
so
only 30-minute
episodes.
So you're
just not going to
answer it. No, I am, but it's not a great categorization. What it is it's a... Instead of like a two-hour or two-plus-hour sort of Star Wars thing, it's in the Star Wars universe. So there is Star Wars stuff, but it's really just... It's more of a Western than it is... your typical Star Wars fan.
Would I like it?
I honestly have no idea. I think it's hard not... I think if you don't like it, you're trying not to like it. You've decided it's not going to be
Maybe
something
I'll
that you
watch
like.
Watch it this weekend.
It's really good. It's really entertaining.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Pedro Pascal, who's the lead on the show, is a dreamboat, and he's outstanding. He's in Narcos, which is irresponsible. You haven't watched that. He's from
The first season of Narcos.
He's from Game of Thrones. He was also in the latest Kingsman movie. He is outstanding. I love him so much. It's a really good cast.
Yeah!
They do a really good job.
I'd probably like Mandalorian just because I know more about Star Wars than you, as you stated at one point on the show. Mm. But I'm not positive.
Grant definitely knows more Star Wars than I do.
Rich and only.
Richard.
Hello, Rich.
What's going on, guys?
Buddy.
Hey, Bob.
Clocked in at work today. Just finished a truck. My boss just came up to me and said, happy birthday. You can leave 3.5 hours early. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Look at you.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Enjoy the B-Day. I don't know what you got planned, but hopefully it's fun. Kick it with the fellas this weekend.
You know what's going to happen. Like
happy birthday.
It'll involve scotch and boys over at
like
the
somehow
house.
Somehow he's grilling. Somehow his wife isn't there and his kids aren't there. And he has like a great boys weekend.
He has a lot of those.
He's like first team that.
He leads the league in those weekends.
Take that, haters.
Good for Rich. That's still one of my favorite cuts
that's
ever.
That's a great one.
I think that's after like a Shohei Ohtani home run or something.
It's such sincerity that he says it with.
Take that, haters.
The Angels play-by-play guy. Whitest baller. The Beltway Blitz next. G&D.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.